3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. How are those Kamalanomics working for you? Because we saw the jobs numbers today. How would you describe them? Stink, stank, stunk? Something like that, right? They're really bad. And now you got this buzz once again that there could be a recession in the offing. The market is not happy. I mean, I don't know. And then we hear her the first time in 12 days that she's been somewhere where she was unscripted. Now, remember, has not faced the press for 12 days since she was handed the Democrat Party nomination without ever in her entire history winning a single vote in a primary or a caucus for president of the United States. It's amazing to me. And before we get to Dr. Dave Bratt, can we just hear one more time, Germ, the Kamala unscripted last night?
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
I tell you what, we're going to need bigger bowls if we get 4 years of word salad like that. But hey, what are you going to do? Dr. Dave Bratt joins us on Fridays. He's got a major, major post, of course, out at Liberty University, senior vice president in charge of, I think, other senior vice presidents. It's pretty impressive stuff. But when he joins us, not related to Liberty, not related to anything other than Dave's opinions, Dave's views of the world. It's all based in economics, and I'm always happy when he's here. Dave, thanks for being here.
Happy to be on, Jeff. Kamalanomics rocks.
Yeah, baby. What could possibly go wrong with her in charge?
Can't imagine. Cannot imagine.
All right, a shorter list. What could possibly go right with her in charge?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm so cynical, but I'm equally cynical on half the American people right now, right? I was beat by a moderate Democrat. Mm-hmm. The moderate Democrat is in favor of the border invasion, has never messaged about shutting the border, right? This is the moderate Democrat who beat me, all political views are my own. The moderate Democrat, I said in my debate, would vote 99% with Pelosi. No, I'm a moderate. She voted 99% with Pelosi. And she voted for the $2 trillion deficits we have that are bankrupting your kids, no economy. Republicans cannot compete with that. You cannot compete with free. But that's right. Now $2 trillion deficits are moderate. There's four wars going on in the world right now, 14 hotspots. Haven't heard a word from the moderate Democrats. The Constitution's out of whack. And so I don't say that because, you know, whatever. But the people in Richmond, they need to pay attention. Now you're going to vote again. You're going to vote for Kamalanomics. I heard her the other day on inflation. And, I try to be Christian. I don't do smears and nasties or whatever, too often at least.
Right.
And so Kamala, she could not, for 45 seconds, when she was asked about inflation, she showed she doesn't know what the word means at all. I mean, she said, the price of bread is up. And then when the price of bread is up, food prices are up. Oh. And when food prices are up, that's bad. We want bread prices not to be up. And so inflation is when bread prices are up. I mean, it's just, come on, people. There's too much, and then there's too much. If you don't like some eccentricities of a certain candidate, get over them. We had peace and prosperity 5 years ago, and I want that for my kids. Please, any day now, wake up.
Oh, my gosh, Dave. You know, you're saying what the vast majority of us are thinking, but we've been told, number one, anybody who criticizes Kamala Harris, my gosh, you hate women, you don't like black people, you don't like people like this. And you go, no, she's an airhead, apparently, with a very, very minimal grasp of anything. And the times are too dangerous to roll the dice and take this chance.
Yeah, and that, you know, the media bubble, right? It's on the verge of psyops, right? Mm-hmm. The positive reinforcement she's received from the mainstream media.
Yep.
I didn't critique Kamala Harris. I critiqued her definition and understanding of inflation, which was non-existent.
Right.
And this is, we got to get serious as a country again any day now, because it, you know, Iran, right now, Israel is in some deep kimchi, as they say.
That's right.
Right? Iran, Hamas is enough of a problem.
Right.
And there's no clean win even with Hamas. Hezbollah is way more. Iran is waiting in the wings. They're going to respond now. If they go in serious, I don't think they're as, you know, militarized as we may think.
Right.
But Turkey's sitting over there. They're not going to do anything now. But
right.
If Israel looks weak in and Egypt is sitting over there, mm-hmm. and then the Saudis are one step away, that block, China, Russia, Iran, is going to go after the Saudis, our friends.
That's right.
Because the U.S. is so messed up right now, right? So, I mean, and Pakistan is weighing in a little. Pakistan has nukes.
Yep.
And so, I mean, we are really, folks, we are really in serious times, and this did not exist 5 years ago when we had a strong person in there that just laid it out and told Putin and Xi Jinping what was going on.
Let me ask you about that, because you used the word strong, and of course, for the last couple of weeks since you suggested it, I've been perusing our Reno and Return of the Strong Gods, there's that word strong again.
Yeah.
When somebody like a Vladimir Putin looks at whether it's Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, he sees weakness. And when he looks at Donald Trump, he sees a strong man. Now, somebody said, well, you know, Donald Trump might be crazy. Well, I don't care what it is that the bad guys think. I just know that they kept themselves in check because they were fearful of him. And we apparently now are living in a day and age where if you inspire fear in someone else, even when it is for the right reasons, you're the bad guy.
Yeah, no, well, it's not a feelings fest either. We don't have feelings on the conservative side to our detriment, right? I could be a little more feeling. But we do have this thing called rationality. So Trump isn't strong just because he says so. He ran a New York City real estate media empire for decades prior to politics. You don't do that on a whim, right? So there's a hint. And then if you talk to Putin or Xi Jinping or whoever else, Iraq, Iran,
mm-hmm.
Trump acts. The first day he hears something he doesn't like, he makes a phone call and says, "You do this, I'm going to do this to you tomorrow."
That's right.
I know where I know where your friends live too, or some phrase like that, probably in there.
That's right.
But he means it, and we get peace as a result. I like peace. I like peace. I want to love people and have peace.
Exactly.
I'm a liberal.
There are a lot of us that would like to be in exactly that situation. Dave, tell me what you make of the jobs numbers. They came out and, you know, it seems to me every month that something comes out and the books are cooked and then they go back and readjust them this way or that way. But I would have thought that they would have come out with better jobs numbers to sort of boost the Kamala Harris campaign. So what should we read into this?
Well, it's the jobs numbers. I don't pay too much attention because they're so cooked and they go up and down like a yo-yo. But it's tied to the Federal Reserve position. And, you know, at first everyone was pricing in that the Fed's going to cut a hair. And this, you know, this determines our economy, which if you don't understand economics, that it shouldn't be that way. Right. Federal Reserve policy of a quarter point on the interest should not determine whether Wall Street freaks out or not. The fact that we're that far off the fundamentals should tell you everything you need to know. But now that quarter point Fed cut is being reinterpreted another way. Uh-oh, really? So the Fed is really going to cut? Maybe that means the economy is not as strong as we've been led to believe. And now today you see the stock market starting to have hiccups. And I think it's going to have some major hiccups coming up. And so that's been tied to my story. For the past 4 years, productivity is down 7 years in a row.
Right.
CBO has productivity falling for the next 30 years. Real economy. Sorry, it doesn't matter what the jobs number. What it means is the U.S. is in decline. And all those BRICS countries, there's 40 of them, are running away from the U.S. dollar now. Slowly. They're not stupid.
Right.
China, slowly. It's not dramatic. The petrodollar. But chip. And they're forming a friendship over there in East Asia, in the Eurasian landmass, and we're alone. and it's going to be a disaster for us because we're alone.
So is there anything that we legitimately can do to stem that that dropping of the dollar? I mean, because it just seems to me.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have your knowledge or your insight, but I'm standing on the sideline going, well, wait a minute, guys, shouldn't you be doing something about this? Because it just seems like Harris and Biden and the rest of them are no more than bystanders and they ought to be actively doing something.
Yeah, well, we have allowed the world to take advantage of us since the end of World War II with the Bretton Woods liberal world order. We made a deal with it. If you guys join us versus the Russians and the communists, we're going to patrol the world and keep the peace and provide open sea lanes.
Right.
So what we can do and what Donald Trump does is I died laughing because I've never talked about strength. He turned around to the whole stage, all of NATO countries, all the presidents, prime ministers, he turned around to them all and said, you're all, the free ride's over. In person, he did this. Right? And that's what you can do. He can also go to the Philippines and Japan and all of our friends and say, hey, guess what, you guys? If I catch you guys trading in Chinese currency, India, if I catch you doing, all bets are off, you don't have access to United States capital markets. The next day, you will see very repentant countries behaving themselves the next day, and that's what you can do, and we're not doing it.
We're not doing it, and I don't know the ultimate reason. Are the Harrises and the Bidens just so dirty up to their eyeballs? Or they really, do you think, really on some level look at what's happening and believe that it's good for this nation?
No, I mean, that's the philosophical difference, right? Yeah, Trump runs on America first, and then they mock him, and they mock Christian nationalism, and they make it sound bad. But the American people kind of get it now, right? America should be first before the rest of the world. And so, no, the globalists, that thing is for real.
Yep.
The Bidens and the Harrises and the globalists still believe in that old Bretton Woods system because the billionaires run that system. The American people do not run that system, right? So the global billionaires, they get their way. Our big mega firms, our 10 top corporations, you know, are worth as much as the European stock market combined. So the billionaire class controls, owns the Congress, owns the Senate, owns the White House. The American people are sick of it. And that right there is the ultimate bet, and that's the ultimate vote you're going to cast in November. Do you want America first, or do you want the globalists and the billionaire class promising you all the, hey, we're going to ramp up spending on everything. Folks, we're $35 trillion in debt. There's not going to be more spending on you. They're lying to you, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're just lying to you.
Yeah. And the problem, and look, you're at Liberty University. You've got an amazing set of students, but they're still young people, and some of the young people, as they're coming up now, particularly those in their collegiate years as we speak, they've grown up with Biden, they've grown up with Obama. Trump is sort of the outlier in their mind, and I think many of them really do believe, oh yeah, the government is supposed to do all this stuff for me, I just, you know, all I'm trading is a vote, it doesn't mean anything, and they're on the road to serfdom.
Yeah. Well, they are on. It's terribly sad. They already are, right? Their credit cards are maxed out. They can't buy houses, car. The energy market is a disaster. Economic growth is slow, and they haven't been educated to know that they've been put in that bind.
Yes.
And then they certainly haven't been educated of the moral character necessary to turn this thing around, right? The old Max Weber, right, the great sociologist and the Calvinist ethic and the spirit of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people mock the old Puritans and the old Calvinists, but you know what that old generation did along with the black church? They sacrificed and had nothing. They had bread so that they could put their kids into school and give them a better life.
That's right.
And for that, we mock those generations. That's the kind of ethic they had. They loved their neighbor as themselves. They loved their kids and sacrificed for a better day. Instead of letting them do TikTok and consumerist crap and making them feel good day by day. That ain't cutting it, folks. That ain't cutting it.
Dave, listen, I am always so grateful to you making time for us. You have such valuable lessons, amazing insight, and I'm just hoping against hope that we've got enough people hearing it and then resharing this message that we're going to make a difference and make America great again. I mean, that really is the best. Hey, I want to ask you real fast. The best way for folks to stay in touch, is it still over on Getter?
Yes, I'm so slammed lately. I apologize, okay. But just Brat Economics on Getter, and there's an email there, Getter, G-E-T-T-R. My charts, they're still, all the basics are there, but I'm so hammered I haven't been updating stuff like I should. But basically, all the old charts are the same I'd be posting today. Nothing fundamental has changed.
Okay. Well, that's important. I wasn't sure if you're still there, so I'm gonna put that link up there. I want people to go there so that when they get the chance to interact with you again next week, they'll have a little primer that perhaps they didn't have this week. Dave, God bless you, my friend. Keep doing this good work, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, Jeff, all those comments are my own, but now it's all done. Now, I do encourage people, bring your young scholars, visit Liberty. Yes. It's a great school. The students there are first rate. I've been there 4 years as dean. I've never heard a nasty student put down to another 4 years. It's stunning.
That is absolutely wonderful. Dave, thank you for being here. Yeah. That is Dr. Dave Brat. Now, Dave, as you know, went to Liberty as the dean of the business school. Then he was, I don't know, there was another post. I forget what it was. Now he's the senior vice president. The bottom line is, I think Dave Brat has found a beautiful community that is filled with smart people, smart students, smart professors, people who care. And all of his opinions here are just his. I always need to make that clear. I don't want you to think, oh, he speaks on behalf of Liberty for this. He doesn't. But he's a brilliant guy. And the fact that he's referencing certain things that many of us, myself included, are sitting here going, oh, wait a minute, I gotta make a note on this. How many people heard him talk about Bretton Woods and said, well, wait a minute, what the heck is that? Write it down. I would say you can Google it, Jerm. You think it's going to show up properly in Google? I don't know. We'll do that during the break, and we'll let you know. It is 3:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.